We're here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, and we're going to have to review in order to start the Sugyav Tanoi, which is five lines down from the top of the page, the Machlokas Shin Rav and Shmuel back on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph with regard to Mechazeres. Again, the Mishnah had already established that if the animal eats from the Rechava, which is Rishus HaRabim, that's Shein Rishus HaRabim, then there's no Chiv Nezikin, but rather a Chiv of Hanah. But if it was Tzidei HaRechava, then Mishalemes Mashi Yizika. From the fact that the Mishnah establishes that there's a Chiv to pay Nezikin, Mashi Zika in Tzidei HaRechava, the Mishnah seems to be assuming that Tzidei HaRechava has the status of Rishus HaNizak. Otherwise, it would be Rishus HaRabim, and Shein is part of Rishus HaRabim. And there would only be a Chiv Hana, there would not be Chiv Nezikin. Now, Rav is going to interpret that it's true that if the animal ate from Tzidei HaRechava, you pay Nezikin, but that's a case where the animal itself is in the Rechava, the Guf HaBehema. And Mechazeres means it stretches its head out, as we discussed in the last Shia, into the Tzidei HaRechava. And according to Rav, the reason why you pay Nezikin in such a case is because the Achilu took place in the Rishus HaNizak, and Shein Rishus HaNizak is Chayav. That certainly is one way of interpreting the Shita of Rav, and that in fact is going to be the Shita of Tosvis on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph Divrei Maskil Mechazeres, that according to Rav, the chiyuv of Mechazeres is midin shein bechotzer hanizak. Shmuel is of the opinion that Mechazeres is potter. And the reason for that is because the guf habehema is located in the Rechava. And that makes it shein b'shus harabim. And Shein B'Shus HaRabim is Potter. We could add one other point here, and that is that according to Shmuel, since anyone's allowed to use the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, therefore it's an extension of Rishus HaRabim. And when the Mishnah says that Mitzidei Rechava Mishalemes Mashi Yizika, That's because it's a case of Aaron, because it's unusual for the animal to locate itself in Tzidei Rishus HaRabim in order to eat food. So Shmuel would say the following: If the animal relocates itself to Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, that's already Karen. Why? Because Ein Derech Shvarim, it's not usual for Shvarim to push themselves into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim to eat, and that becomes Shein. If, on the other hand, the Gufa Behema remains in the Rishus HaRabim, and it just stretches its head out to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim to eat, that's Shein. But the only problem is, it's Shein Rishus HaRabim. Because Shmuel holds that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim. Again, it's Rishus HaRabim in terms of Shein, and therefore it's Potur. As far as Karen is concerned, it would be chayev, because Karen is chayev in Rishus Rabim. And the difference between the guf ha-behema being situated in its entirety in Sidi Rishus Rabim, in the case where the guf ha-behema is in Rishus Rabim and the head sticks out into Rishus, into the Tzidir Rishus HaRachava, is whether or not we can be Mechayev you for Karen. Can we assume that when the animal picks itself up, so to speak, lifts itself up and relocates itself in the Tzidir Rechava, that is an unusual kind of behavior, that's not Derech HaShvarim, and therefore it becomes Karen, and Karen is Chayev in Rishus HaRab, but Shane, in the case where the animal in its mainstay remains in Rishus HaRabim, just as the head sticks out into the Tzidir Rechava, that already could come under Shane because that's normal behavior. The animal is still in Rishus HaRabim, hasn't relocated itself, uprooted itself from the Rishus HaRabim, from the Rechava. But Shane Rishus HaRabim is Potter. Rav, on the other hand, holds that Mechazeres is Chayav, because Rav is of the opinion that in the case of Chizur, the Tzidir Rechov have the status of Chotzer and Nizak, in which Yechayev for Shein. So this is really the sheet of Tosus here in the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. That's what we presented so far. Everybody agrees that the Mechayev is Shein. The question is whether Tzidir HaRachov have the status of Rishus HaRab or not. Rav says it's a Rishus Chotzer Nizak, and therefore Yechayev for Shein. And Shmuel says no, Tzidei Rechova have the status of Rishus HaRab, and therefore Yepotur in this case. If, on the other hand, the animal remains in the Rishus HaRabim, in the Rechava, and stretches its head out into the Tzidir Rechava, then Shmuel would say that you're Chayav, right? Because it's not a case of Ozla v'kama b'Tzidir Rechava, it's a case of Mechazeres. Shmuel would say you're Chayav in that case because of that's Shein, and Shein Rishus HaRab is Potter, because Shmuel holds that Tzidei HaRechov have the status, has the status of Rishus HaRabim. And why is the animal Chayev according to Shmuel when it picks itself up and places itself down into the Tzidei Rechova? That's not Shein at all, because if it was Shein, then according to Shmuel, you'd be Potter. Why you chayv in the Mishnah for Tzidir Rechova, you chayv for Nezik, and that must be because it's Karen. That's an unusual behavior pattern. So, in the sense, Mechazeres, according to Shmuel, is not unusual, but Shmuel says you're Potter for a different reason, because it's Shein versus Rav. Rav, on the other hand, holds that Tzidir versus Rabim is Chotzer and Nizak, and therefore whether or not the animal picks itself up and situates, relocates itself in Tzidei HaRechova, or the animal, the goof of the animal remains in the Rechova and it's Mechazeres and the Rosh goes into the Tzidei HaRechova, in both cases Yechayev. And the reason for that is because Tzidei HaRechova is Rishus HaNizak, it's Chotzer HaNizak, and Shein B'Chotzer HaNizak is Chayav. Now, it's not 100% clear what Rav would say is the Machayev in the case of Tzidir Rechov in the Mishnah. Is the Machayev Shein or Regel? I'm sorry, is the Machayev Shein or Karen? It's possible that when the animal relocates itself entirely into the Tzidei Rechova, Rav would agree to Shmuel that that's unusual behavior and therefore would be Karen. I am more inclined, although I don't have a proof to this, to believe that according to Rav, whether or not the animal removed itself from the Rishus harav in the rechov and placed itself into the tzidei harechov, or whether or not the animal remained in the rishus harav in the rechov and stretched its head out to eat in the tzidei rechov, in both cases, rav would hold yechayv mishum shein. And therefore, since Rav understands that Tzidei Rechov have the status of Rishus HaRav, because anyone could use that area, therefore it's Shein Rishus HaRav. Therefore it's Chatzar Nizak, excuse me. Meaning, when I use that area, it becomes mine. Again, it's not that I have legal ownership on the Tzidei HaRechov, but I do have rights to use it, and in a certain sense to take over exclusive use of it by putting my peros there or bring my animals there, and that gives it the status of the chatzar nizak. Seino chinami, in both cases yachayv mishum shein according to Rav, but it remains chatzar nizak. Now, according to Rashi, Mechazeres is Keren. That's not the way we understood it according to Tosus. Tosus would hold that Mechazeres is Shein B'chotzar Nizak. Rashi holds that according to Rav, Mechazeres is Keren. According to Shmuel, on the other hand, it's Shein B'shus HaRav and it's Potter. So again, Shmuel, as we said earlier, sees the animal's goof in the rechava and the head stretched out to the tzidei rechava to eat as something that is normal and is usual, and therefore comes under shein. But Shmuel's of the opinion that the tzidei rechava is rishus harabim, and therefore shein rishus harabim is pot. Rav, on the other hand, holds that this whole mechazeres thing is unusual behavior, and therefore it is Keren, and Keren is Chayev in Rishus HaRab. That's the way Rashi seems to learn it. Now, all this is an introduction to the sugi that we want to look at here on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Lema Machzeres Tanoihi. And we're going to learn a brisa. I warn you that the language of the brisa is somewhat ambiguous, and because of that ambiguity, you could fit in almost any pshat at all into this brisa, because the brisa records machlokas, and it doesn't really pinpoint exactly what the argument is about. The sanya we learned in the brisa, ochla mitoch harachava mishalemes mashenenes. So that's crystal clear. In the case of the Rechava, which is Rishus HaRabim, we have a classical case of Shein Rishus HaRabim. Oh, but then the Brisa says, Mitzi Dei Rechava Mishalemes Mashi Zika Divra Meir Rav Yehuda. And this is called in the Shas, as we'll soon see in a second, that's called the Tanakama. The Tanakama is this Sheet of Rav Meir. So what happens here in the Seifa? I'm talking about the Sefer of the Reisha, meaning the Sefer of the Tanakhama of Meir. The animal ate now mitzidei harechava. Again, exactly what the scenario is, we don't know. But it says, Mishalemes mashehi zika, which means the chiv nezikin. And I'm not sure now what the nature of the chiv nezikin is. Is it based on the fact that this is unusual behavior, and it's a chiyuv of Keren, and it could very well be that Tzidei Rechava have the status of Rishus HaRav, it's irrelevant once you set it up as Keren? Or can we possibly say that Tzidei Rechava have the status of Chatzar Nizak, and therefore Yechad Mishum Shein, and this is considered normal behavior? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrim, they disagree. Ein darko lechol elo lahalech. And it seems quite clear that Rabbi Yossi is arguing with the Sefer of Tzidei Rishus, Tzidei Rechava, and he's defining that as something other than the derech. In other words, let's say if we offered one shot in Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir is operating midin shein, but he defines the tzidah rechov as chatzar and nizak, therefore you pay for nizikin. Rabbi Yossi might be arguing that this is not the normal behavior pattern. But again, Rabbi Yossi, that's not going to be satisfactory, because if it's not normal behavior pattern, this scenario of tzidah rechovah, why would he disagree with the chiyuv nezikin? I mean, you might want to say it comes under Karen. You might want to say that it's only chatzi nezik, perhaps. That would make an afkamin. I don't know. But in any event, the Gemara wants to understand that the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi here in this brisa is identical with the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara understands that according to Rabbi Yossi, when the animal eats mitzider chava, that's not considered darka. That's unusual, and that's the language ain darka lechol el halech. And as a result, it comes under keren. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that yechayev for nezikin. So it comes out the way we're presenting it here is that, according to Rabbi Meir, Yechayv Midin Shein versus Hanizak. According to Rabbi Yossi, Yechayv Mishum Keren, and it doesn't matter whether you define it as Rishus Rama or Rishus Hanizak. Frekta Gemara, if that be the case, Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama. And perhaps what underlies the Gemara's kash is that whether you call it Shein versus Hanizak or whether you call it Keren, you're going to be mechayev in any event. Although, again, you know, you have to think hard and long about this, because keren tama only pays chatzi nezek. Now, there is another possibility in explaining Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama. If we assume, which again, this might work out only according to Shmuel, which is problematic here, because you don't get the impression that Gemara is asking according to one man diomer. But let's take this scenario just as a possibility, that the Tanakama Rabbi Meir is operating Mishum Karen as well. And when the animal picks itself up and relocates itself into Tzidei Rishus HaRavim, which is called here Tzidei HaRachava, then that's unusual behavior, which means that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are saying the exact same thing. And again, the reason I'm compelled to go that way is because when the Gemara says Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama, clearly Rabbi Yossi is talking about Shalo Kedarka Ilav Urche. He says Ein Darka. I mean, that couldn't be more explicit. So he must be operating Midin Keren. If he's operating Midin Keren, and the Gemara is equating Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Meir, then by definition Rabbi Meir is also operating Midin Keren. And Meshalemis Mashi Zika would probably mean Chatzi Nezik on the first three times and Nezik Shalem on the fourth. Let's just go on now and see how the Gemara suggests that this Machlokas, if we're going to have a Machlokas here, which the Braisa clearly has, is the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Elo, says the Gemara, Machzeres Ika Benayu. The case here is where the animal is located in the rechava, and the head is stretched into the tzidei rechava. Tanakama sovar mechazeres nami mishalem mashe nenes, which, if I understand correctly, would mean that according to Rabbi Meir, the case of mechazeres is included in Rechava, and what that means is that Mechazeres becomes Urche, and if it's Urche, it's Shein. If we identify Tzidei HaRechava as Rishus HaRabim, which is again Shmuel Shita, then there's no Chiv of Shein Rishus HaRabim other than Hana. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds that in the case of Mechazeres Meshalemes Mashi Zika, there's a Chiv Nizokin, and that could reflect the Shita of Rav, which means that Tzidei HaRechava have the status of Chotzer hanizak. And basically what we've done here now in the Gemara's answer is shifted from Karen over to Shane, which means that the issue here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, which was the issue between Rav and Shmuel, is what's the status of Tzidei HaRachava. So then, if this be the case, then what we're doing is we're identifying Rabbi Meir Shmuel, and it means that A, since the Guf HaBehema remains in the Rishus HaRavim, in the Rechava, and when it stretches its head out into the Tzidei Rechava, that's not unusual, and that makes it into Shein. And if we identify Tzidei Rechava as Rishus HaRavim, then it becomes Shein versus a Rab Mishalem es Mashen Nenes. That's the sheet of Rabbi Meir of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds like Rav, that Mechazeres is a Shinui, and the Chiyuv here is Midin Karen. And that's what Rabbi Yossi means when he says Ein Darka Bekach. Now, the only problem with this whole approach is how to read this into Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that in the case of Tzidei Rechava, Mishalemes Mashi Zika. In order to justify that language of Mishalemes Mashi Zika in Tzidei Rechava, we're going to have to assume that the actual, shall we say, explicit case head-on that Rabbi Meir is addressing is not the case of Mechazeres. That's not what the Gemara means, Mechazeres Ika Beinayhu. But rather, the Machlokas is how to understand the case where the animal has removed itself, relocated itself, totally uprooted itself from the Rechava and placed itself into the Tzidei Rechava. How do we understand that? And if we understand that as Karen, meaning as unusual, then that's going to be the case in which Rabbi Meir says Tzidei Rechava Mishalemes Mashi Zika under the law of Karen. But in contrast, if the animal remains in Rishus HaRavim and just stretches its arm out into the Tzidei Rechava, that would be a case of normal behavior, of Urchei, of Shein. And if you all like Shmuel, if you recall, Tzidei Rechava has the status of Rishus HaRavim insofar as it's open for anyone to use it. And Shein Rishus HaRavim is Potter. Just to reiterate, when Rabbi Meir in this Braisa is being identified with Shmuel about Mechazeres, that's not the case that's explicit. It's only sort of reading between the lines. And what we're saying is that in the case of Tzidei Rechava, Mishalemes Mashi Zika, because the animal removed itself from the Rechava, but in the case of Mechazeres, when the animal remains fundamentally planted in the Rechava, in the Rishus HaRavim, that's a case which is Urche, and that comes of the shame, and then you add the proviso that Tzidei Rechava has the status of Rishus HaRavim. Then the Gemara says, lo. The Gemara says, no, you know what? There's another way of interpreting this Braisa and the subject of Machlok Shin Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. Kuli Alma b'machazeres ikar Ravi k'Shmuel. You know, you can go either way. That's not relevant to their Machlokas for Hocha, but here in the Braisa, we're not talking about a case of Mechazeres. We're talking about a case of, and this is the most fundamental machlokas we have about Shein, Rishus Rab Mamish. Rab Meir says that Shein Rishus Rab is Potter. We're very familiar with this. But Rab Yossi says that the Torah never said you're Potter for Shein Rishus Rab. And it all revolves, says the Gemara, about one pasuk in Shein. Ubir b'stei acher kamifkli. They're arguing about how to interpret ubir b'stei acher. Are we talking about an exclusion, meaning stei acher means privately owned, and that's where Shein takes place, as opposed to rishus harabim? Okay, mar sovar ubir b'stei acher v'lo b'rishus harabim, and therefore mitoch harachova mishalemes mashenenes. There's no chiv nezikin in rishus harabim. Of course, the Tanakhama maintains that Rishus HaRabim is not a place where you mechayef Hashem. Umar Sover, Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, Ubir b'stei acher v'lo b'rishus ha-mazik. When the Torah adds this, what seems to be a limiting stipulation of Ubir b'stei acher for the chiyuv of Shein, it's not coming to exclude Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim is in the place, but rather Rishus ha-mazik. Again, we're going to soon see the Gemara objects to this because L'chor Rishus HaMazik, that's Pshita. I don't need a pasuk for that. Who gave the Nizak the rights to enter into the Rishus HaMazik? And I'm not sure in this particular suggestion of the Gemara how to read the words of Rabbi Yossi. If Rabbi Yossi is coming to disagree with the case of Mitoch HaRachava, what does he mean by saying Ein Darko Lechel El Lahalech? Where is that coming into play over here? Everybody is agreeing that we're talking about Shein. The question is, what's the status of Shein? B'shus HaRabim is a chayv apot. In any event, the Gemara is going to ask a different kash. Oddly enough, b'shus hamazik lema is parcha b'shusi my boy Perach, excuse me, Rishusi, my boy, what are your fruits doing in my Rishus? I don't have responsibility if you trespass and bring your fruits into my field. I'm not responsible for my animal eating your fruits in my field. I can let my animal roam freely on my private property to eat what it wills. And therefore, this whole interpretation, this whole hava, meaning that maybe there is a chiyuv Shein in Rishus HaRabim, is very, very difficult in the light of ubir b'stei acher. Of course, mimonavshach. If it's ubir b'stei acher lafuki Rishus HaRabim, then okay, Shein is part of Rishus HaRabim. Elohim can say it's coming lafuki Rishus HaMazik. I don't need a pasuk to exclude Rishus HaMazik. Elohim, now the Gemara comes up with the third interpretation of this price. And that is the Ilfa of Rav Oshio Ikubanayim. They're arguing in a different context. We're talking about an animal that in Rishus HaRabim eats off the fruits that are being carried by another animal. And the animal somehow raises itself up in order to eat these fruits. And the question is, this is going to be the issue of Ilfa and Rav Oshia, what's the nature of the din of Nezikin in this case? And according to Ilfa, in such a case, there's a chiyuv because the chiyuv Shein, because the animal's back is considered the Rishus HaNizak. It's like a chotzer, it's a privately owned area. We've discussed this in the past. So we have here a case of Shein b'Rishus HaNizak. Ilfa says, Yechayv. Rav Oshia says that this is a very unusual kind of behavior for the animal to walk in Rishus HaRabim and lift itself up in order to eat from the basket that's being carried by another animal. That's Keren. And that's Chatzi Nezek, that's Mishuna. So again, if we're dealing with Shein, then you could talk about Chatzi Nizak because the kupa, this bundle on the back of the animal is a Chatzi. So it's considered Bishus HaNizak, and we have here a classical case of Shein. Rav Oshia takes exception. He thinks it's a Meshunadika case, it's a Shinu, and therefore it comes under Karen. Oh, So now, let's see how we could fit this in to our Braisa. And the machlokes between the Tanakhama, that's Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. The Gemara doesn't really spell this all out. So we're going to try to piece this together based on Rashi. And perhaps we could suggest that according to Rabbi Meir, in these cases, the animal lifts itself up to eat off the basket on the other animal's back. Rabbi Meir holds that that's called Shein Birshus Harabim. And Shein Birshus Harabim is Potter. So when it says in the Braisa, in the Tanakhama, says Bitochar Chov Mishalemis Mashanenes, that's a case where it's eating in the Rechava, off the back of another animal. That's Shein Birshus Harabim. Rab Yossi, on the other hand, says that in this case you're chayev. Let's take Rav Oshia's Shita. Rav Oshia's Shita is that when an animal eats off someone else's bundle, that's Mishuna, and that's Keren. So in this case, we're not dealing with Shein Birshus Harabim, but rather we're dealing with Keren. If we identify Rav Yossi with Rabbi Oshia, then it makes absolutely sense to read the words of Rabbi Yossi and say that even though it's Mitochar Chava and it sounds like Shein, but no, it's Ein Darko Lechol El Halech. I mean, Ein Darko Lechol by jumping up and lifting itself and stretching its head in order to eat from the bundle, the basket on the back of another animal. That's not the derech. The derech, the animal el lahalich, is to eat while it's walking, in the normal way, and therefore we're talking about a chiyuv keren. So according to Rabbi Meir, we're dealing with Shein Birshus Harabim. According to Rabbi Yossi, we're dealing with keren Birshus Harabim. Now, alternatively, we could have suggested that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Meir, even though he grants the premise that this is not Mishuna for the animal to eat off the back, off the bundle of another animal, and it's Chayv Mishum Shein, but he disagrees in the premise that the bundle is considered part of the Rishus Rabbim. He understands the bundle, the barrel, is considered Rishus HaNizak, because after all, it's privately owned. The only problem with that pshat is how do you read that into the words of Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says, Ein Darko Lechol El Halech. Rabbi Yossi wants to be machadish that if the animal jumps, it's normal behavior, but it's Michotza Nizak, he should have somehow indicated that. And Rabbi Yossi, this leads us up to the Mishnah in the middle of Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, HaKelev HaGdi SheKofzu Mirosh HaGag VeShovras HaKelev Mishalim Nezek Sholim Mipnei SheMu Odin. So the Reisha of this mission establishes Kfitza. Kfitza, we're talking about a dog, we're talking about a goat. Kfitza, jumping, and in this case in a downward motion, is considered normal behavior pattern, and you can't say that you, as the owner of the dog, the owner of the gdi, you were taken by total surprise and there was no element of negligence here. Definitely you should have anticipated that these animals, if you take them out on a high place, they jump down and they're kalim there on the bottom. They'll break and they'll smash the kalim. That's called neshei mu'od. HaKelev shenot al charora v'holach l'godish v'yachal charora v'hidliks ha'godish. So we've spoken about this in the past. The dog takes this hot cookie together with some of the charcoals and it places it down on the haystack of someone's friend, and the animal also ate the charora. So we have a double hezek over here. One is the achilas charora, when the kelev took the charora, and secondly, we have hidlik es hagadish, that this kelev created a fire that burnt up somebody's haystack. Is al harora mishalim nezek sholim v'al hagadish mishalim chatzi nezek. As far as the harora is concerned, we have shein. And shein here is in the reshus hanizak. So you pay nezek sholim. But in the case of the sreifa, for that you only pay chatzi nezek. And later on, the Gemara Daf Chav Beis is going to analyze what's the reason why you pay chatzi nezek. Is it midin sroros? Is it midin keren? That's going to be an issue. So the Gemara says, Taima de Koftsu. The reason why the Baal HaKelev or Baal Agdi is held responsible is because the animals jumped down. And that's something that should be anticipated. And if you don't take the proper precautions, you're held responsible for that. You have to do the shmirat shmiras and alecha. Oh, hanaflu. The Mishnah says a kfitza is something that you have to be concerned about, and you have to watch for, implying that the animal fell off a high roof. That's not something that you would anticipate, and therefore, we don't hold you guilty of negligence if the animal trips and falls off the roof. And therefore, potter. Bialim don't have to pay at all. Now, there's something a little bit strange here, because he took these animals, whether it's the dog or the kid, up to the roof. That itself, you know, engenders responsibility, because the animal might just jump out any second. So you're in that danger zone where the animal might jump. And for that, you're certainly negligent if you didn't take any care. At the end of the day, the animal didn't jump, it fell. Is the Gemara says, if in such a case you're potter, alma kasover tchiloso bipshia v'sofa ba'on is potter. Which means that he had no right to leave the animal unguided, unsupervised, on a high place on the roof. That's already considered that he was posher b'shmiraso. He should always take into account the fact that these animals tend to jump off a roof. But yet it was so for bonus. You can't hold him responsible to anticipate that the animal is going to slip and fall and roll off the roof. That he's really not guilty for. You know, he didn't anticipate such a crazy situation of nefila. His partner. Why is he potter? Because we don't care about the tchilas of pshia. We care about what actually happened. At the end of the day, the tchilas pshia was not a gore esahezek. The gore esahezek was nefila. And that's considered sofo ba'onus. Again, what really, if we had time, and this is not a sugya here in Bavakama, but rather in Bavmetzia, we would really have to analyze this, because if the animal needs shmira on top of the roof, then that shmira will certainly prevent nefila as well. So had he done what he had to do, there never would have been a possibility of the animal falling off the roof. Tanya nami hochi. We also learned in a brisa, kelev agdisha koftsu birosh agag v'shavru es hakelim mishalim nezek sholim naflu pturim. Once again, if the animal falls, slips and falls off the roof, the bailim are potter. And this is all based on the principle of tchilaso v'pshia v'sofo ba'ones potter. Now, when we say that the bailim are potter in this case of nefila, what we mean is not that it's some sort of a keren situation which you pay the chatzi nesek, but rather Potter and Ganson, you pay nothing. Legamre. You don't even have to pay the chatzi nesek. Now the Gemara says, Kasha hon nicho leman di omar. according to that opinion, that Tchilas of Shia B'Sof Bonus Potur, then everything fits into place. Aber Ella Lemandi Omar Chayav, there is a Mandi Omar later on, in Bav Kamed, also in Bav Metzia, that Tchilas of Shia B'Sof Bonus is Chayav, is Ma'ikal Meimar. How are you going to understand the Mishnah and the Braisa? So the Gemara answers, Kingo demakarve kelim legabi kosel. If your tchilas of b'shia v'sofa ba'ones is chayev, why you potter in this case of naflu? And the answer is because the kelim were very close to the kosel, and therefore the chikavtzi b'kfitza lo naflu alayhu. You want to say that this is tchilas of b'shia? Why is it tchilas of b'shia? Because the animal might jump off the roof. Okay, even if it will jump off the roof, what's going to happen over here? When the animal jumps off the roof, it goes a certain distance off the roof. You can put an X on the ground and figure out, calculate where it's going to fall after this jump. But it's not going to come straight down in a line, you know, in a vertical line. And the kelim here are located exactly on the bottom of that vertical line. It's kelim that are smuchim lekosel. That's what the Gemara means. Makarvik lekosel, smuchim lekosel. They're right near the kosel. And in such a case, it's not even tchilos of a pshia. There was no pshia on the part of the bailim. In other words, the bailim calculated that in the worst case scenario, if the animal displays this behavior pattern, which is really normal, of jumping off the roof, nothing's, you know, that's my problem. That's the if it's dangerous for the animal, I don't know, but that's it's not dangerous for anybody else. The kelim are not located, not situated in a place where they would be broken. The only problem with this, in my humble opinion, is he chayev in the ratio for koftsu. If it's a situation where the calculation was made that even if the animal would jump, it would not hit the kelim because the kelim are smuchim lekosel, if that's the case, so why does it say mishalim nezek shalim in such a case? There's no element of pshia here. Rashba says that there is an element of possibility or some limited probability that on occasion when the animal jumps off the roof, it would fall even on kelim that are close to the roof. Therefore, this would not qualify as mishuna. It would be regel when it breaks the kelim, and therefore you'd pay nezek shalei. The only problem is, if that be the case, then why is this tchiloso be'ones, so to speak? In other words, let's talk about tchiloso be'pshia. But you're going to have to say that this is not a full-fledged pshia because we don't really expect the animal to break the kelim, but he does have to consider the possibility that the animal in such a kvitza might break kelim. Omer Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava Pa'amim Sha'afilu Naflu Namicha. If you could have a case where even if the dog or the goat fell off the roof, fell down from the top of the roof and broke kelim, Yechayev Mishkaches Lo B'Kosol Ro'uar. A kosol ro'uar has a pshia even vis-a-vis Nefila. And the reason for that is because it's very likely that Chas V'Shalom, the kosel will come down. It's a very weak kosel. You know, the bricks are not hanging together. And apply the principle of Tchilas and Pshia, you need a Pshia Gemura, says the Rashba. But here, it's not a Pshia Gemura because it's not really anticipated. It's not Motzui Hezeka that the animal should jump off the roof and hit these kelim that are smack up against the kotel of the roof, of the kotel that's underneath the roof. So we can't be mechayev midin tchilasa b'pshia. But on the other hand, this is not called mishuna, and therefore you pay nezek shalim. So So the Gemara asks the following question now. My Nihu, what kind of Shia would be involved in the case of Kosel Ra'ua? Di Iboile Lasuke Daita De Nofil Arche? Does it mean that when he allows the animal to climb up on the roof, he has to assume that since this kosel is ra'ua, it could be a piece, a brick would fall out, and why is this a case of pshia? It has nothing to do with the nefila. The nefila itself is a sofa bonus situation, but the tchilas of a pshia here is because, you know what, when the animal climbs up on the roof, if it's a weak roof, it's going to cause the roof, the kotel that's holding up this roof, to come down. So the Gemara asks, sof lo nafal orche v'nafal in hu? Lamaisa, what happened is that none of the bricks of this wall fell down and broke the kelim, but rather the kelim and the gedi fell on the kelim. And as far as nefil is concerned, we said that's considered ones. So it's tchilas of b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. And tchilas of b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is chayev at this point. And the Gemara is not happy about this because, okay, you could say tchilas of b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is chayev, but that's only according to one man d'yomer. How are you working this out according to the man d'yomer? Tchilas of b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is potter. Lotzricha bekosel tsar. We're talking about a very narrow kind of a roof. And the Bailam should understand that it's very possible for the nefila to take place. There's a pshia here on the part of the Bailam because the animal is walking on a very thin area. And, you know, it's kind of precarious. The animal could very easily fall and break Caleb. So therefore, as far as Nefil is concerned, we have a Pshia. Tana Rabbanan, HaKelev HaGedi, Shedilgu Mimato Lemala, Pturit. In other words, this is a case of Lav Urchi of Mishuna of Karen. Why? Because the animals climbed up. Please note, if we're talking about a chiv keren, it's not potter legamri. The word potter is going to have to mean potter mi nezik sholim v'chayev chatzi nezik b'toras keren. And why is this keren? Because we don't anticipate that the animal would jump up. Until now, we're talking about going from the roof down to the bottom. That kvitza, but a kvitza mimata lamala, which is called in Lushan of the Brisa dilgu. Dilgu means they climb up, they jump up step by step. Is that's already keren and potter? Again, potter meaning from nezik sholem, you only pay chatzin nezik. But milamala lamata, when you take these animals up, or you see the animals up on a high place and they fell down, or let's say they jump down, so we don't get into that whole issue about falling, is chayovim. Oh, that's memel understood, because chayovim means it's going to be regel versus hanizak. When the animal falls into the rishus hanizak, or I should say jumps into the rishus hanizak from the gag or the make or the roof, That's going to be a chiyuv nezek sholim b'toras regel. What about Adam v'tarnagol shedilgu? Again, we're talking about dilug meaning on its way up. Is bein bilamal lamatu bein bilamato lamal chayovim? As far as Adam v'tarnagol, this is going to be an absolute cut, you know, straight across the board chiyuv of nezek sholim. And the reason is, well, let's take Adam Uliolam, let's take a Tarnagolus. The Tarnagol has a derech to be kofetz, and therefore it's considered regel. There's a contrast here between Kelev and Gedi on the one and Tarnagol on the other. Kelev and Gedi go down, and they don't go up. If they go up, that's already Karen, it's Mishuni Chatzi Nezik. On the other hand, Tarnagolus, or Tarnagol, goes up, not just down. And therefore you pay Nezik Shalem Bitoras Rekha. Adam is Lu'ud Li'olam, so therefore he's Chayav Bein Milamal Lamata Lamata Lamata. And here we're turning to Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction between one brisa and the other. Tanya, I have another brisa. Hakelev Agdi Shediglu, and they broke Kelim, is Bein Milamala Lamata, Bein Milamata Lamala Pturit. We just finished saying that in the case of Kelev and Gedi, when they go from top to bottom, they jump off a roof, then for sure that's considered normal behavior, and there's a pshia here on the part of the Bialim, they have to pay Nezik Sholem. And here in the price it says, even in the case of Milamal Lamata, Ptur, why should that be so? Is Tirgumar of Papa the Apich Mepich? That here we have to get into the difference between a Kelev and a Gedi. You know, we haven't spoken about that at all yet. And the difference is going to be whether Dilug is Kedarko or it's not Kedarko. The normal case, what's usual, is that when a dog jumps down from a high place, it just jumps and that's it. That's not the normal behavior. What I mean to say is that's the case that we're dealing with. It's abnormal behavior. Why? Because it's kalva bizakira. Zakira means when it just, you know, leaps down, one fast jump. And that's not the way a kelev usually comes down. A kelev usually comes down by clambering one stage and one step at a time. Vigadya besricha. But in this case, the goat did something that's unusual for the goat, and it went down slowly without a kfitza. So therefore, what's happening is unusual behavior. Usually a dog sort of inches its way down a wall and then leaps to get to the bottom. A goat, on the other hand, will jump from the top to the bottom in one fell swoop. Now, in our Mishnah and in the Braisa, we're talking about normal behavior. Whether it's normal behavior for a dog or for a goat. In the case of a dog, it goes down slowly. In the case of a goat, it just jumps to the bottom. Oh, but this second Braisa that we're dealing with now, that's already the opposite, says Rav Papa. Everything got flipped around. And this animal took on that animal's behavior pattern and vice versa. So instead, what happened is that the dog leaps and the goat, you know, goes down step by step. And therefore, according to this last brisa, it's going to be potur. And again, when potur means, potur minezek shalem, under the law of Karen. Fine. Ihochi, the Gemara says, Amai Pturim? And the Gemara answers, Potu mi nezek sholim vechayovim vechatzi nezek. And that's what we said before, that when the second brisa says Pturim, it means Karen, and Karen means chatzi nezek. And why is it Potu? It's because it's Karen, because they switched roles here. The way the dog did it was unusual for a dog, you know, to leap in one leap, and was the jump of the Gedi in this case was it came down very slowly, and that's unusual. Now it's interesting that the Gemara asks Ihachi Amai Pturin, implying that this Kasha is a Kasha only after Rav Papa. I mean, leave out Rav Papa. I mean, the Bryce itself is very difficult. How do you understand the Bryce of Pturin? So So apparently, if not for Rav Papa, we could have explained the second brisa to mean that jumping, let's say, either upwards or downwards is normal for a dog or for a goat, and the brisa refers to Rishus HaRabin, and it's a p'tur of regular Rishus HaRabin. But now that Rav Papa, he wanted to be miyashiv all these brises and explain the brises as talking about abnormal behavior. And the second brise again is shinui. So now the Gemara questions, why does it say p'turin? It should have said potu minazik sholem, but chayev chatzin. Here, Rabbos, I will stop here.